This is the Daily Dope, presented by The Gaming Gang, for Thursday, January 12th, 2012. It's time for another irrelevant look at the gaming news of the day. Hi everybody, I'm your host, Jeff McAleer, with the latest in tabletop gaming headlines. I do have a special guest with me today, and that is my kitten Smokey, sitting on my lap while I record, so hopefully she will keep the purring down to a dull roar. Also, starting today, I'm including little bits of transition music so you don't have to spend 13 or more straight minutes of listening to me blather away. Shall we get right to the headlines? For those of you who have children or grandchildren, GameRight wants you to know that they'll be launching 8 new titles at the New York Toy Fair this February. Some of the highlights: Rory's Story Cubes, Actions. It's an expansion to their number one selling game. 9 new cubes feature 54 verbs. Play with them solo or mix them with the original Rory Story Cubes. The Scrambled States of America game, Deluxe 10th Anniversary Edition. An updated version of another of their best-selling games. It features new art, new challenges, and a copy of the Scrambled States of America book, all in an attractive new package. Elephant's Trunk. A cute preschool game with nice wooden pieces and mini tin suitcases. Zip Zap, which is a fast-playing signature card game. Scallywags, a pirate-themed game involving cards and coins with the same eye-catching pirate art as in their top-selling card game, Loot. Take It or Leave It, a light strategy game for the whole family involving 20 dice and a huge deck of cards. The Big Fat Tomato Game. Everybody likes a big fat tomato, especially on a nice ham sandwich with rye, but I digress. Competitive tomato farming in this hilarious family game, complete with mini tomatoes and a shelf-popping tin package. And Fitzit, a new title for their family-friendly port-a-party game line. Use your creativity to come up with objects that fit the descriptions on your cards. If you happen to be finding yourself at the New York Toy Fair, be sure to visit GameRight at booth 2173 in the Javits Center. There's a new expansion for Quarriors coming this spring, and it's Quarmageddon. Quaboom! After an epic battle between Quaxos and the three-eyed dragon of the Quarmageddon, the Quarmageddon is released upon us! The second expansion set to the Quarriors dice-building game adds 40 new custom dice, powering 6 new characters and 2 new spells for you to bring a serious smackdown to the battlefield of hexahedron monster combat. Some battle-hardened creatures come equipped with a new immunity ability, so they can laugh off whatever their opponents throw at them. No guts, no glory. This expansion set features an updated rulebook as well, and a box that stores the expansion and the base set. I'm sure Elliot will appreciate that because he loves his storage systems. Quarmageddon will be available in June. Fantasy Flight Games announces the upcoming release of the third Asylum pack in their Revelation cycle for the Call of Cthulhu card game. It's entitled Ebla Restored. Knowledge stolen from the ruins of an ancient city now steers the fate of the world. Ebla Restored introduces a multitude of exciting new characters, locations, events, and tomes to Call of Cthulhu, the card game. Relic hunters, cultists, scientists, and lunatics. Hey, I'm included in this game. Sweet. They all race to obtain power from the dark secrets contained within ancient writings from eras long forgotten. The 60 cards in Ebla Restored promote exciting new synergies between dark tomes and the relic hunters who seek them. As servants of the Ancient Ones, members of clandestine societies, and brave scientists, all explore the ancient knowledge hidden within the forgotten city of Ebla. The fate of the world hangs in the balance. Will humanity tremble before the terrifying might of the Ancient Ones, restored to their former glory? Or will investigators and scientists thwart them and their zealous cultists to maintain sanity, at least for another day? The fate of the world lies in your hands in Ebla Restored, so keep an eye out for the upcoming release from Fantasy Flight Games. Although I have to be honest, I don't have a specific release date yet. Days of Wonder has released their second map collection for Ticket to Ride, and it should now be in stores. We've mentioned it plenty of times on the website. Ticket to Ride India adds a map of India and a map of Switzerland. It's two-sided, of course. And it's for your base game of Ticket to Ride, or even Ticket to Ride Europe. embark on a world tour of Ian Vincent's India and discover one of the most densely populated and colorful countries of the world. The year is 1911, and the world is changing fast in the British Raj. Will you complete your grand tour in time, or lose to more cunning, or simply better connected, opponents? It'll also include Alan R. Moon's terrific map of Switzerland, specifically designed for 2 and 3 players and made famous by Ticket to Ride Online. Discover Switzerland's challenging geography with its verdant valleys and mountain passes, as well as the charm of its neighboring countries. Looking to travel through Switzerland or India? You can now with the arrival of Ticket to Ride India. For those who enjoy their miniatures, the 2011 War Machine and Horde shirts, which made their debuts at Lock and Load and Gen Con, are now available to order from the Privateer Press online store. Featuring exciting designs from the cover of Escalation and Primal Mark II, these shirts are the perfect way to declare your gaming allegiance. So head on over to their online store and grab your 2011 War Machine and 2011 Horde shirts today. Privateer also has 5 new figures which should be available in stores, and 3 of them are for War Machine, 2 of them are for Hordes. First for War Machine, Nisia Tear of Vengeance is a solo hero for the battlefield, and she fights under the Protectorate faction. The mercenaries gain an updated mule/nomad/rover heavy warjack and a heavy warjack upgrade kit. For Hordes, the Legion of Everblight Nisraptors invade the battlefield atop Ulks, and a Bone Swarm Light War Beast horrifies its victims, donning the bones of its prey. It's important to note the Bone Swarm Light War Beast is actually a re-release of a previous figure from the Iron Kingdoms role-playing game, but has a completely revamped battle card for Hordes. WizKids has a new figure to be an addition to their Heroes and Monsters set that's now arriving in stores, and I have to say it's pretty sweet looking. Roaring down from on high comes the Black Dragon. Sure to be an encounter centerpiece, this classic monster comes pre-painted and ready to rumble in your next Pathfinder battle. It is releasing with the Heroes and Monster bricks. That's the good news. The bad news is it's only available when you purchase a case of booster bricks. Finally, in wee bitty figure news, Fantasy Flight Games has a new post on their website, and it's part one of a simple guide to painting your Dusk Minis. It's a very basic article, and it is only the first part, but I found it interesting how the author, Nam Nguyen, points out a couple of times, believe it's a couple of times, the Dusk figures are pre-primed, or already primed, and ready to paint right out of the box. Yet he goes on to write that, quote, "Although the models are already primed, I applied another layer of paint," end quote. But Nam, if they're already primed and good to go, why would you apply a primer? As I mentioned in my recent review of Dust Tactics, I love the figures, but I'm not buying into that whole no primer needed routine. Or at least they should be honest and tell gamers you'll want to prime them if you plan on having your paint job last for more than 2 or 3 games. On the role-playing game front, Pinnacle Entertainment is releasing an Explorer's edition of the Deadlands Player's Guide for Savage World. It's important to keep in mind this edition is the same exact thing as the Deadlands Player's Guide, only it's in a smaller softcover format as opposed to the original hardcover book. Strap on your 6-gun and saddle up, partner, because there's hell to pay and the currency is hot lead. The Tombstone Epitaph has always been filled with lurid tales of daring desperados and deadly drifters, but lately the West's most read tabloid claims there's something more sinister stalking the frontier's lonely plains. Monsters. Fortunately, where there are monsters, there are heroes. Squint-eyed gunfighters, card-chucking hex-slingers, savage braves, and righteous padres all have answered the call, and if they fight hard enough, they might just discover the identity of the mysterious reckoners some say are behind it all. The Player's Guide is the core rules book for players of Deadlands Reloaded. It includes new rules for shootouts at high noon, new edges, hindrances, and powers, and everything a cowpoke needs to begin his journey into the Weird West. This more compact version of Deadlands Player's Guide should be in stores this week. Moving on to some convention news, Organizers of the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, C2E2, have today announced that Josh Gates will appear at the annual pop culture convention, where he'll be the focus of a high-profile panel and also do some signings. Known as the face of sci-fi, Gates is well-recognized as the host of the hit travel adventure series Destination Truth, which is a huge sensation that's garnered considerable attention and publicity, including an interview with Gates on the Today Show. Gates' reputation as a preeminent monster hunter was firmly established when on the season premiere of Season 2 of Destination Truth, he and his team uncovered a series of footprints high in the Himalayas in their search for evidence of the Yeti. I did see that episode, although, I don't know, I thought it was weird that they found the footprints, but I didn't find it to be overly startling. Josh also hosts Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters Halloween Live and other special events for the channel throughout the year, and has written Destination Truth, Memoirs of a Monster Hunter, which was published by Gallery Books in October of last year. The Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo will take place April 13th through the 15th, 2012, in the North Building at the McCormick Place Convention Center, and I can guarantee you my brother Greg will be in attendance. C2E2 programming officials have also announced that comic legend Joe Kubert will be a spotlight guest at this year's convention. It'll be Mr. Kubert's first appearance at the Chicago Con. Of course, more guest announcements are going to be made in the coming months. Also, I know I mentioned the Volcon convention, which is coming here to Phoenix, Arizona, earlier in the week, and I'll be there, and I'm trying to convince Elliot to fly out for the show as well. It's being held February 25th and 26th, and I do have some additional updates about the show. While both days of the con will feature a full range of gaming, they're theming each of the days. This year's Saturday is Dust Day, and is actually the official Dust Day Arizona 2012. It's only the second in the world. The first was in Argentina, and it's the first here in the US, obviously. Sunday will be a steampunk-themed day. For Dust Day Arizona, there's going to be a broad range of special events and activities going on, including dust-themed games, such as Dust Tactics, B-17 Queen of the Skies, an old favorite of Elliot's and mine from Avalon Hill. This time it's reimagined as a multiplayer co-op game, a weird World War II role-playing game, Fortune and Glory, and more. There's also going to be a military airfield display, Vulcan Field, that will include a full-sized model of an experimental World War II aircraft. Special virtual guests Paolo Pariente and Andy Chambers will join players and fans near Vulcan Field through a restored World War II remote commander. You may have seen a photo of it online at the Gaming Gang in one of our previous posts about Vulcan. Additionally, swag for the day will be enhanced by dust-themed items and giveaways, and costume characters will add to the atmosphere. Steampunk Day on Sunday is still evolving, but currently includes steampunk-themed games such as Malifaux, Dystopian Wars, Walsung Steam Factory RPG, Battle Over Caprona, which is Biplanes vs. Pterodons, using the Wings of Glory rules, and more. Special virtual guest Paul Guinan, creator of Boilerplate, will provide updates on the upcoming Boilerplate movie from Bad Robot and producer J.J. Abrams. Additional surprises for Steampunk Day are currently in the works. Stay tuned over the next few days as we'll be offering a special discount code for the Gaming Gang audience to save on their badge registrations. And one final item, and this is from the Associated Press. A group of scientists that tracks the likelihood of a global cataclysm say the world is moving closer to doomsday. The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists announced Tuesday that it has moved its doomsday clock to 5 minutes to midnight. The group says inadequate progress on stopping the spread of nuclear weapons and continuing inaction on climate change are the reasons for the clock change. The clock had been set at 6 minutes to midnight for the past 2 years. It was previously set at 5 minutes to midnight from 2007 to 2010. The group says in a statement that 2 years ago, there was reason for optimism that world leaders might address the truly global threats we face. In many cases, that trend has not continued or been reversed. Great. Just great. We have the Mayan calendar ending this year. The Quarmageddon, as I mentioned earlier in the show. Dungeons & Dragons has a new edition coming out. And now we're at 5 minutes to midnight on the doomsday clock? It looks like we may be living in a post-apocalyptic setting sooner than we thought. But I doubt it. That's all for today, and I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, enjoy your Thursday, and remember, the weekend is only 2 days away. The Daily Dope is presented by The Gaming Gang, located at thegaminggang.com. Any similarities to an actual news program are certainly unintentional and, in fact, accidental.